Let's open up our Bibles. If you could turn to, why don't you turn to Genesis? Genesis. Chapter 6, Genesis, the first book in your Bible, Genesis, chapter 6. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Point number one, God cannot lie. Having no God cannot lie. Now, if you're not taking notes, do me a favor, write this down. Ready? God cannot lie. Pastor, why do you want us to take notes? Because you will remember more of what you write down. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, this is a training center. So the Bible says in Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. God, he can't lie. And then in James, the Bible says this, every good gift and every perfect gift are from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom, this is talking about God, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everybody say, with God, there's no variation. Let me tell you about God. God speaks the truth. He is a truth proclaimer. He is the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And so he's going to tell you the truth, and he's not going to lie. The flood's a great example, is it not? And if you could turn to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God says this, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, that's a lot of words, but check out what God is saying. Look what he says. The wickedness of man was great on the earth, and look at how adamant God is, and that every intent of the thoughts, every intent of the thoughts. And watch what he's saying. He's saying there's this intentionality. Have you ever been driving and you're accidentally changing a lane and you don't see somebody? Come on, we're in the church. You got to tell the truth. Have you ever done that? And you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know what? I just cut that person off. I didn't mean to. This isn't what's going on back here. Back here, it's their intent was evil. They cut somebody off. They meant to cut somebody off. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And watch this. Every intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil. You know what that means? There wasn't any good. It was only evil. And is that sometimes? Look what it says. What did it say? Continually. Somebody say continually. Okay. Do you see how jacked up these people are? They are messed up all the time. And that's what the Bible says. So look at this. Verse 13, chapter 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So, Pastor, I thought you were talking about the end times. Why are you talking about the flood and Genesis? I don't get to where, you know what? We're talking about the future. You're talking about the past. Well, here's why. Because I want you to see this character of God. Here's what God does. He can't lie. And so he says, this is going to happen. And guess what? It happened. So watch this verse. This is chapter 7. And look at verse 11 because it's very interesting. Look at his detail. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month. Pastor, what's your point? My point is, there was an exact day that God said, now. Exact day. And the Bible records it for us. And here's what I want you to catch. I want you to catch that from the time that God tells Noah, I want you to build yourself an ark. Which, that's interesting terminology, because we can build ourselves an ark. Amen. But from the day that he tells them, I want you to build an ark, to this point in time, it's over 100 years. What's your point about that? Here's my point about this, that people will say, oh yeah, how many know there are people saying, it ain't going to happen. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Oh, I know God said that, but that's not going to happen. And how many know Noah could have said that? Here, just think about it. At what day does Noah, at what month, at what year does, you know, does, I mean, the 11th month of the first year, does he just go, man, we've been working hard on this thing. I'm tired. This probably, you know what, this probably ain't going to happen. Or the second year, or the eighth year. What are you doing? What are you doing today? I'm going to get up and build the ark. No, you've been doing that for a long time. I know, but I need to be prepared. Amen. Amen. Guys, are you ready for the first clip? Run the first clip. Okay, that was a short clip, was it not? Guys, are you ready? You got a big thumbs up in the back? You ready to go? Should I preach a little bit longer? Are you ready? Okay. Let's try it again. Run the clip. So here's what I want you to catch. So did you catch that? These fossils are found on the top of the mountains. Well, how does that happen? Let me tell you how it happens. You know what? A flood happens. See, you know what? And as I taught you last week, you know what? We don't have to back off on science. Science is on our side. Let me tell you what. God tells the truth. Amen? Amen. And this is true. And the people who said, oh, that's not going to happen, that's not going to happen, that's not going to happen. How many know at one time, you know what? At one place in time, in this date, you know what? Guess what's happening? They're starting to sing. Are they not? What are they singing? Raindrops keep falling on my head. And at one point in time, listen, at what point in time do they start to recognize, oh my goodness, Noah was right, God is true. You know what? Was it when the water was at their ankles? Was that when they recognized? Was it when it was at their knees? Was it at their waist? When it was up to their neck, you think somebody thought, you know what, oh my goodness, God is true. Amen. Look at this portion of scripture. It says this in James. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. See, you know what God knows? God knows this, that we, at a certain period of time, you know what, have a tendency, a propensity to say, it ain't going to happen. And I remember when I was growing up, I remember reading a book by Chuck Smith. And it was called, you know what, The Last Days. And I remember reading that book over and over again, thinking to myself, I was a sophomore in high school, and I remember thinking to myself, I probably am not going to graduate from high school. The coming of the Lord will come. How many know that's not true? And then I remember when I graduated from high school thinking, well, I probably won't graduate from college, but the Lord's going to come. See, what am I saying? I'm saying that what this happens is James is recognizing that we can get impatient and we can start to throw our hands up in the air and say, you know what, it ain't going to happen. Matter of fact, it's interesting because in Matthew 24, God says that the last days are going to be like the days of Noah. I'm going to take you through in the next coming weeks, you know what, things, signs that are happening on this earth that are absolutely crystal clear. We're going to look at just one of them today, but I'm going to take you week by week in signs that are showing that God is trying to communicate to the world, including us, hey, I'm coming. Amen. I'm coming. I'm coming. Check it out. Get ready. Get ready. You know what? When we have guests coming over to our house, and you know what? And our house, you know what, is very clean. But how many know, ladies, when you got a guest coming over, you know what? You're looking and you're all of a sudden it gets, you know what? It clean goes to another level, does it not? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you know what? We're checking this and checking that and we're cleaning everything up. You know what? God wants us. And let me ask you this. Right now, do you have a room in your home that if I walked in, or let me ask you this, in your hallway, is there a room that before you leave, you shut the door to that room? Does anybody have a junk drawer? Amen? You're like, man, that thing just is a junk drawer. We all got junk. Okay, and we understand that, but let me say this. God doesn't want us to have a junk drawer in our lives. Amen. See, what he wants us to do is he wants to be able to sit at our desk of life and open up every drawer and go, oh my goodness, man, as far as sexuality, these high schoolers, these junior hires, these college age, man, they are saving themselves. They are saving themselves for one young lady or one young man. Amen. Oh, yeah, but what if some guy's like, ooh, baby, I love you. They're like, hit the road, Jack. You know what? You know what? Amen? And he looks and says, man, they got it. Man, that's awesome. Then he opens up the drawer and says, man, look at this. Look at how neat this is. The drawer of forgiveness. They forgive. They don't hold a grudge over anybody. Even people that done them wrong. And God wants to open up every single drawer. You know what? Oh, anger, wrath. You know, the Bible says the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. How many ever freak out? Amen? Ooh, that made me so, they make me so mad. Can I tell you what? Nobody makes you mad, but that you don't empower them. Do you understand? See, you can let people make you mad, but if you just decide they ain't going to let me mad, they're not going to make me mad, then guess what? Then he opens up that door and says, man, they got it. And he looks at every door and every door. He's like, wow, this is awesome. These people are ready for my second coming. Amen. Amen. And what God wants to do is he wants to give us these signs that we would go, oh, my goodness. Because I don't know, am I the only one that gets wrapped up in the busyness of life? Run here and run there and do this and do that. And all of a sudden, you know what? That's one of the reasons why we come together to remind ourselves, hey, let's recalibrate ourselves and recognize we need to serve God. Amen. We need to think about God and be tender towards God. Is somebody hearing what we're saying today? Yeah. So be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. Clean up those drawers. Amen. Matthew says this, and he answered, Jesus says this, and he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, and the sky is red, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red, and it's threatening. Now listen to what God says. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, and you cannot discern the signs of the times. We're able to look out and say, oh, look, it's going to rain. How do we see that? Because we see the cloudiness of the darkness of the clouds, and we can figure it out. God says, how in the world can you figure that out? And as clear as I've been with these signs, you can't figure out what's going to happen. See, listen, so Pastor, you're going to tell us what day Jesus Christ is going to come back? Here, listen. No, I'm not. Amen. And I'm not because I don't know. I don't know. Bible says the angels don't know. We don't know. But here's what the Bible says, that we should know and be able to discern the seasons. Amen. So the Bible says we should see the signs and know, oh my goodness. So can I go over some signs with you today? I want to go over the main sign I want to look at today. The first sign we're going to look at is this, the sign of the end, the worldwide return of the Jews to Israel. The worldwide return of the Jews to Israel. Now, look in your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 43, and I want to show you something here very, very interesting, very, very detailed. Now, this was written over 700 years before Christ. 700 years before Christ. But how many know God can see things in the future? Amen. So to him, he sees it, and he sees it with great clarity. So in Isaiah 43, look at verse 5, and I want you to check this out. Look at verse 5. Fear not. For I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my son from afar and my daughter from the ends of the earth. Notice the sequence. I want you to notice a couple things. Number one, the sequence. The sequence is first from the east and then from the west. And then from the north and from the south. But notice also, they're going to come from the east and the west, but then he's got to say to the north, give them up. And to the south, he's got to say, give them back. How many know this is very detailed? Now, what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. In the early 1800s, in Israel, which Israel wasn't a country then, but they call it Palestine in that area, there was, it wasn't populated hardly at all. And at that point in time, there's only about 275,000 200,000 people in that whole region. But in that region, of those 275,000, only about 24,000 were Jews. And all of a sudden, in the early 1800s, from the Middle East, from the East first, which is what God said from the East, they started coming in. And then in the mid-1800s, there was great persecution, a lot of anti-Semitic views and points, and they started coming from the West. Hundreds and thousands of Jews started migrating to Palestine. And then from the north, just like the Bible says, just like the order says, there was many, many Russian Jews up there, but they couldn't come. And there was pressure on Russia, Soviet Union, old Soviet Union, and they kept on saying, no, you can't come, no, you can't come, no, you can't come. But eventually, in about 1980, they finally said, okay, we can come. And hundreds and thousands of Russian Jews immigrated to Israel. Say, well, what about the South? Well, in the South, the same thing happened. Ethiopia, which was a communist-controlled country, said, nope, we're not going to let you go. And there was pressure and pressure and pressure. And finally, in 1985, just like God had said, 1985, they started coming up from the South. In 1991, in one day, they airlifted 14,500 Jews were airlifted from the Ukraine into Israel. In one day. Now, let me tell you what's so significant. In a short period of time, in about 100 years, this population, they went from about 24,000 Jews in what's known now as Israel to over 6 million Jews in Israel. Okay, let me tell you what. This is amazing population increase. Amen. And it was prophesied 700 years before Jesus Christ and over 2,000 years before it happened. And it's prophesied, watch this, as a sign to us of Jesus coming soon. Amen. In exact order, just like God said. Amazing. What about this? Number two, look at this. The military dominance. Military dominance. Look at the scripture in Isaiah 41. Look at verse 12. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. How many ever heard of the Six-Day War? Let me tell you a little bit about the Six-Day War. This is the prime minister of Syria at the time. His name was Nasser, and he came to prominence, and he started to work the people up about their dominance over Israel. And he started building up his military and telling, you know what, and being very vocal about what he was going to do. Now, this is this very small country in yellow is Israel, and to them is Egypt, and then you can see Saudi Arabia and Iraq right there and Jordan right there. Well, what happened is these countries are surrounding this very small little country called Israel. And they started building up their military and building up their military and building up their military. And there was leaders of Iran said, we are going to push you into the ocean. Wow. Into the sea. That's what we're going to do. So, Pastor, what happened? Exactly what was prophesied in Isaiah over 2,000 years ago. And here's what happened. The prime minister of Israel, he didn't want to fight. No, we have to walk in peace. We have to walk in peace. And because the nation was getting very concerned because the armament of all these surrounding countries were coming towards Israel. So they said, you've got to do something. So the prime minister of Israel, you know what, had a live radio address to the whole nation. It was very interesting because I heard the one of the guys that was at the radio station. They said, I went over it with him twice. He was smooth. He was sharp. He was no problem. But then when he got in the air and it was live, he started to stumble. And he didn't know exactly a fact, and so he asked one of his aides. Well, when he asked one of his aides, they were like, Prime Minister, this is live. You can't ask one, you know what I mean? And from that point in time, he just could not get a sentence out. And the confidence of that whole nation was just, they just thought, oh my goodness. 2 days or 6 days after that, he resigned. And one of the top military leaders of that nation, of Israel, took over as prime minister. And it was only like, I don't know, 6 more days that this guy said, listen, we are not going to wait and wait and wait for them to attack us. We are going to have a preemptive strike, and we're going to hit them. And it was that morning that he decided we're going to get up early. We're going to get up early in the morning. And they went into to the surrounding countries, and they literally wiped all their air force out before they could get a plane in the air. They literally wiped out all, they burnt all the planes, all the airfields. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do any military attack on the air. They couldn't do, because Israel wiped them out. And then they came in, they started taking the land. And they started their ground attack, and they were amazed at how quickly victory was won. And people scratched their heads and said, unbelievable. Matter of fact, you know what? It was so demoralizing that I was listening to some of these soldiers, and they said, it was not only a defeat, it was so demoralizing because we were utterly defeated. And it was then that they took back Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. So, Pastor, is that in the Bible? Yeah, look at this. Behold, those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. See, how does God know this? Because he's been there. He's seen it. He knows. And he's saying, hey, check this out. This isn't just coincidence. This really happened. Amen. Number three, the blooming deserts of Israel. When Israel came in, when years ago, Israel was just a desert. You know, Israel is one of the major exporters of agriculture today. And these deserts that were deserts, they've irrigated them, and all of a sudden, they are one of the most fruitful countries in the world. Well, is this prophesied? Listen to this. I will open rivers in a desolate height, and the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Is this incredible? They are one of the things that they export is their technology, the drip system of how to make a desert fruitful. And it's amazing. All this is right in front of us. Let me give you one more. Look at this. The signs of the trees. Pastor, what are you talking about, signs of the trees? Right there in the word. Look at this. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the oak tree. I will set the desert the cypress tree. Prophetically. Now let me ask you this. If I said, since Israel became a nation, that there was 1 million trees planted in Israel, would that be an awesome thing? You think, man, Pastor, that's awesome. 1 million trees? Would you believe that? If I said 2 million, would you believe that? If I said 5 million, since Israel became a nation, 240 million trees have been planted in Israel. Coinkadink? I think not. Amen. Amen. No, this isn't coincidence. This is specifically right geared telling you, hey, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Start cleaning up those drawers. Amen. Amen. Psalm says this. This is so interesting. Psalms 102, verse 16 says this. For the Lord shall build up Zion. Zion is Israel. God is saying prophetically, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to build up Zion. Now, here's what I want you to catch. Connect the dots. I will build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. Zion. He shall regard the prayer of the desolate and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for a generation to come that, listen, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. Amen. Now, let me tell you what's interesting about this portion of Scripture. This word here, generation, notice it doesn't say generations. So we'll read that Scripture and say, oh, yes, all these generations have been blessing the Lord. No, that's not what it's saying. Here's what it says. The generation to come. Now, that word, that generation to come, or the NIV, I think, says the, I don't know, forget what the NIV says, but the Hebrew, I know what the Hebrew means on this generation to come. This can be translated as the last generation or the end generation. See, God is going to lift up Israel, and the last generation is going to see it. Hosea says this very quickly. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw her fathers as the first fruits of the fig tree of the first season. And so Israel in this scripture is known as the fig tree. Now look at this. Matthew 24. Now learn his people from the fig tree. Learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch is ready, become tender, and puts forth leaves, you know that the summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Assuredly. Can I tell you what? Let's talk about our first point, assuredly. God can't lie. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm telling you this for sure. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these things take place. He's talking about the end here. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying Jesus Christ is going to come back soon? Here, are you listening? Okay. Yes! Exactly what I'm saying. It's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, look at the sign. Look at it. It's clear. Amen. Now, notice I didn't say it. I don't know the day. I don't know the month. I don't know the year. I don't know how soon. But I'm telling you what God is saying. Look, get ready. I'm coming and I'm going to show you signs. And this is one of them. Now, interesting. This is so interesting. Look at this scripture in Hebrew. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Watch this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, I know this scripture. Don't forsake the gathering. You know what? Assembling together. I know that. But look what it says. As is the manner of some, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You don't got a saying? Look. In the end days, the Bible says, we're going to look at it in the coming weeks, there's perilous times going to come. How many experience just, you watch the news and you're thinking, man, we are messed up. How many ever get discouraged, amen? How many are like, man, this world is going to pot, you know what I mean? Come on, somebody. It's like, man, unbelievable. You know what I mean? You know, can I tell you the truth? I really don't even watch the news anymore. I just don't, amen? Why? It's just depressing, amen? Amen? So here's what Jesus says. Listen, I understand that in days, perilous times are going to come. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to hang out together, amen? I want you to hang out with Brian, Arlene, and Pastor Paul, and Angel, and you know what? I want you guys, and Fred and Arlene, I want you to hang out together, amen? And get together and remind everybody, hey, Jesus Christ is coming. Just encourage each other. You know what? Look at each other, say, man, you look good today. Look at your neighbor, say, you look good today. Man. Look at your neighbor and say, man, and you're hearing a good word today. Tell them that. Yeah. Amen. Tell them that. Come on. Here's what I'm saying. The Bible's saying, look, we got to come together and encourage each other and remind ourselves and build ourselves up. Amen. Yeah. See, because the days are ending and we don't need to be discouraged. We need to be happy. We need to remind ourselves, hey, this isn't bad. This is good. Amen. This is awesome. This is God preparing us. And can I tell you what? You say, Pastor, what's motivating you? What are you doing? You're trying to get us to come to church all the time, aren't you? That's all I know. You said all that to you. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get us to come to church all the time. Well, let me think. Yes. It's exactly what I'm trying to do. Amen? Come together. I love to come to church. You know what? I love to hang out with y'all. I love to hear the encouragement as we encourage each other and remind ourselves that Satan is a liar. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Are you hearing what God's saying? See, we have to prepare ourselves. And not only prepare ourselves, but recognize Christ is coming back. Listen to this. What about signing up for sign ministries? Amen. We have so many people at our church just because gracious people were out on Whittier Boulevard holding signs. You know what? What about what we taught you already? Just praying short prayers. Just grabbing people by the hand, just your mailman and the person, and it's amazing. Because we just ask them. How many experiences? You just say, hey, can I pray with you real quick? And what do we don't want? Father, thank you, and God, and yada, and yada. No. Short prayer. Father, thank you for Tamara. I call her blessed. I thank you she's going to have a great day. I thank you she's going to feel the presence of the one true and living God today in Jesus' name. Amen. Just short, but how many know how powerful that is to somebody who is hopeless? And all of a sudden, you know what? You have shown them Jesus Christ. How many know, just the Bible says life and death in the power of the tongue. How many know we can just create hope in people's lives just by praying? Yeah. Well, amen. How many know, you know what, there was a time. How many remember the time that you weren't saved? And you were away from the Lord. Okay, aren't you glad Jesus Christ didn't come back the week before? Can we have the opportunity to invite people to church? And invite people to love God. And I'm telling you what, people will say yes from the north, the south, east, and west. Because they're like you were. They just need a Savior. They just need hope.
Amen. I can't hear anything in the church anymore that I don't hear the words of Jesus Christ, where he just simplified everything. Love the Lord your God and love others.
Amen.
Everything is coming to that. That's all it's ever been about. Love the Lord your God and love others. In 1 Peter, as you just talked about hope a second ago, it's in chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what it's about. It is about that living hope. We were putting together a calendar the other day where we have, I said, let's not just put it out a month at a time. Let's give people all the stuff because It's just in our hearts that we as the body of Christ need to spend more time together. And you see right here in this scripture,
amen,
even more as the day is approaching. Why? Yeah. That we stir one another up for good works. We need to stay reminded in a place where self has been so exalted. That's one of the signs of the last days, is that people will become lovers of themselves. That's not one and two, is it? Love the Lord your God, love others. I don't see me in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not. That's not what we're supposed to be focused on. It's totally opposite of what Christ said. Look at this in... Yep, I found it. Okay, so this is in 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen to this. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God.
Amen.
That's us. That's right now. That's what the Lord is saying to us, that we are to arm ourselves and prepare us, that it's not, it's about one and two.
That's right.
That's what it's about. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Amen.
And love others as you would love yourself. That's what it's all coming down to. As we were driving in today, my daughter began to speak of a family that was in the church, and she said, they are so amazing. It blessed me because she's seeing people actually living out one and two. And you can't help but notice it when that's before you. And as she was talking, she said, this family is amazing.
Yeah.
Everything they do is about everybody else. They're constantly giving of themselves. They're always doing something in the church. Is that not one and two? And she sees it. And then the Holy Spirit quickened me in prayer this morning as we were together, and he started just showing me the faithfulness of different ones in this body. God is got great plans for us as a church. We are the church. And God is making that alive in each one of us in a way, in a greater way than we've ever experienced before. I hope you know exactly what I'm talking about. I hope you're going, yes, yes. Because it's happening amongst us. And it's a good time for us, church.
Amen.
Some of the best days of my life were some, if you looked at it, they were so focused on not me or my family or my plans or my anything. It was when God called us here. And we literally just said, oh, the
okay.
heck with everything we got going on. Let's go do this because God said so.
Amen.
And I think those first 2 years were, I never worked so hard. I never worked so tirelessly. But I never, those were the best 2 years of my life. You want to know why? Because in doing one and two, and that's what those 2 years were all about, one and two. We just wiped Drew and Tamara right off the page. And in those 2 years, I came to know the faithfulness of God like I've never known it. I was in no greater need than I've ever been for God in those 2 years. And he loves that. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
He wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Amen. And this is where God is taking our church. And I see it, it's like popcorn popping up all over the place. More and more and more, we're just pressing into the things of God. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, honey.